Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN.
Right.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day, enjoying the warm and humid spring weather out there. Welcome into another Power Hour edition of Spencer on Sports here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Watching sports and the weather. Keep you up to date with the latest forecast throughout the hour we have together here. Cubs pregame show starts at 5:05 tonight. We'll take you right up to the start of that game two tonight between the Cubs and the Phillies over in Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park. Not a great night last night for the Cubs, losing to the Phillies. We'll talk about that on a Cubs report later on this hour. That's coming your way about 4:50 tonight as we peek ahead at what's happening in the sports world on a quick edition of the sports menu. But lots to talk about between now and 5 o'clock here on 1600 ESPN. And if you want to join in on the conversation, the talk line's open, text line open too, 319-366-1600. Again, that's 319-366-1600. You can send a text message to that number. It pops up on my screen to my right here. You can pick up the phone, give us a call here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and you can talk to me on the airwaves that way. Interim producer Tay is ready to roll. He's going to put you through and sitting in for Isaac here the next couple days here on 1600 ESPN. I don't even call him interim producer. He's been on the show before. I'll remove the interim tag. You are officially a high level is not the words maybe I should use, but you are a full-fledged member of the team, Tay. Thank you for being here as always. But Tay's excited, ready to roll, and we're here with you on 1600 ESPN again till 5 o'clock today. Every Tuesday, by the way, the show brought to you by the Wellness Lounge in Coralville. From D1 athlete to weekend warrior, you can soothe and improve your body at the Wellness Lounge. Check them out online, thewellnessloungeia.com. Let's get the important business out of the way here. No warnings in effect, at least for the immediate 1600 ESPN listening area here. But if you are headed to the north towards Waterloo, Cedar Falls, over towards the Dyke, New Hartford area, there is a severe thunderstorm warning up there. And just looking at some info from the Weather Service, that storm moving through Blackhawk County, I could see some golf ball size hail. So that's to our north. If you're listening in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, it's not a bad afternoon out there. Some clouds popping up. We're going to see some storms at some point this evening. There is a tornado watch in effect for pretty much all of eastern Iowa. That goes until 10 o'clock this evening. It does include Lynn and Johnson counties. But it's been a warm and sticky afternoon outside. The stickiness in our house upstairs, especially this morning, had the windows open, the fans going. To me, it's still a little too early to turn on the AC, but that might change tonight. We'll see. But currently 83, dew point at 66 in Cedar Rapids, and about the same in Iowa City, 83 the temperature, dew point sitting at 65. Again, that tornado watch, the only weather alert currently in effect for the immediate 1600 ESPN listening area. But if you're headed to the north, towards Waterloo, Cedar Falls, also seeing on Iowa's News Now here on the TV screen in the studio, some warnings being issued up towards northeast Iowa, Marquette-McGregor area. Not sure how many folks listen to us up from that area, but if you are there, salute to you. That's where the storms are right now, but more expected to come. And we'll hear from meteorologist Kason Frericks coming up here in just a little bit. We got a lot happening today sports-wise. As we kind of mix in sports and weather, that's spring and summer in Iowa here on 1600 ESPN, especially with the late afternoon show here on our airwaves. But lots to get to. We've got some football discussion. Yes, college football discussion. The NCAA. Discuss. 319-366-1600. Talk about that. Iowa football in the news. Not for a good reason. The matter, thankfully, involving a former player and punishments and all this stuff, it is now closed. That's, I guess, the good thing, but a gift that would instantly be returned, I think. If this was an actual Christmas gift or a birthday gift, right, like the sweater you get from your relatives at Christmas, like it doesn't really fit a polo that's three sizes too small and bright purple, like something like that. And that's stuff you'd instantly return. And I think if this person, and you all know who I'm talking about, you can flood the text line with their name. I'm not avoiding them. I'm not. If this person were to come into the lexicon again of in the context of Iowa football, you'd be like, no, send it back. Send it back. You'd start a chant because of just how poorly this whole thing worked out. We'll talk about that momentarily. Got some, it sounds like, imminent portal news for Iowa women's basketball. Everybody's got the cryptic tweets going. Jan Jensen with the gif of her cheering and clapping on the sideline. Bunch of Caitlin Clark gifs. Lysandra Barrett's out there on X with the gifs and someone's committed to out of Iowa women's hoops out of the portal. We'll get that news to you when it drops here between 4 and 5. Also, some updates from Iowa State football. Not a good one, in fact, involving one of their prize transfer portal acquisitions this offseason. New head coach Jimmy Rogers in the last day or so dropping some not so great news about a key piece, someone who's supposed to be a key piece to their defensive backfield. Talk about that before 5 as well. Reaction to the WNBA draft from last night. We got baseball news to get to, so a whole lot to talk about here. And like I said, glad you're along for the ride here on 1600 ESPN. Instead of wasting time, instead of being as vague as possible, let's dive in on a Tuesday.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports back on a Tuesday afternoon. Back. We're just getting started here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Again, you're welcome to join in on the conversation here this afternoon as we go through these Power Hour edition of the show. Like I said, we'll get to Jimmy Rogers, his comments about an unfortunate injury that happened in spring practice here in just a bit. But the name Cade McNamara. Didn't think we'd say that name very often on these radio waves, unless we were talking about portal failures out of the transfer portal for both Iowa football and in general. Highly touted quarterback that Iowa got out of the transfer portal. The results were certainly not in the slightest what was hoped for and what was expected when he transferred to Iowa out of the University of Michigan. And in fact, as we know, and this is very, very old news. I'm not going cuckoo or off my rocker and just bringing up old stories for the fun of it. This has resurfaced. This Cade McNamara situation has resurfaced. If you recall, shortly before the start of the 2024 season, Kirk Ferentz and John Budmaier, the receivers coach, at that time an analyst, assistant coach, we'll just call him that. They both served a self-imposed one-game suspension for the 2024 season opener against Illinois State because of impermissible contact with who they termed a player. That player was determined to be Cade McNamara. The facts of the case in this situation were not disputed by anybody. Neither the University of Iowa nor the NCAA said, we disagree on this. They all came to an agreement saying, hey, this is what happened. We agree upon what happened here. And what happened ultimately is there were a number of impermissible phone calls throughout the month of November of 2022 before Cade McNamara was even in the transfer portal. Of course, he lost his job to J.J. McCarthy at the University of Michigan, was rehabbing an injury. Had not entered the portal because Michigan was, winning football games, stuff like that. But ultimately did enter the portal and did commit to the University of Iowa out of the transfer portal. Well, the violations, the impermissible contact came from 13 phone calls. The NCAA agreed, said, yep, this is what happened. University of Iowa said, yep, this is what happened. 13 phone calls. With John Budmaier, he took part in those calls with the student athlete and or Cade's dad, as well as sending text messages. And Budmaier also arranged a conversation via phone from or between Kirk Ferentz and, and Cade McNamara. All of this before he was in the transfer portal, and the NCAA says, that's tampering, that's a no-no, you can't do that. And because in our rules, this is the NCAA speaking now, because an athlete who was tampered with and then transferred to that school is deemed ineligible by us, he was ineligible for the games he played until we reinstated him. So he was ineligible. Cade McNamara was ineligible for the entire 2023 season. Now, you remember, he got hurt five games in. He tore his ACL in the Michigan State game. So he only played in the first five games of the year. They were 4-1 in those five games. But was good to go for 2024. He played in the first handful of games. It was the Northwestern game. There's been so much football we've talked about so between then and now. So forgive me if my memory's a little fuzzy. But he left the Northwestern game. Brendan Sullivan came in, right? And the rest is history. He didn't play the rest of the season for the Hawkeyes. Ultimately did not play again for the University of Iowa. Ended up transferring to East Tennessee State for this last season of eligibility in college football. But he played in those first five games, Iowa going 4-1 in that stretch. And because he was ineligible per the NCAA rules because of the tampering that occurred in late 2022, these games are no longer were not permitted to be counted, right? They didn't happen because Iowa played an ineligible player. So that's, you know, what the crux of this is. The impermissible contact in 2022 led to him coming to Iowa. He ended up playing. He got hurt. That season, of course, was awful, awful season offensively. The defense carried the load very much so for that Iowa football team. Deacon Hill at quarterback. So many different things that we don't necessarily need to revisit in full. But the NCAA and the University of Iowa, they agreed to the facts of this case. The NCAA acknowledged the fact that in 2024, Kirk Ferentz and John Budmeyer, they both served a one-game suspension. They said, hey, we appreciate that you reported this. We love the fact that you're trying to be above board here. You're doing this the right way. You can't see me dusting my hands off, but essentially it's, we'll call it good. There's still an investigation going on just to keep finding the facts, but we're good. You guys are handling it. That's what we want to see, so on and so forth. Everyone here, myself, you out there, this is not a great look. Right, especially for the results that you got, tampering to get what you got out of Cade McNamara, and you can't predict injuries, but doing what you did to secure him and not getting the full production out of him, it's kind of a ink blot on the T-shirt of Iowa football, if you will. It's not a great look, but in the end, the NCAA said, "Hey, y'all are good. We're all fine here, and everything's hunky dory. We're gonna keep crossing our T's and dotting our I's in the background just to make sure everything ends up okay." What we didn't see after all that in the beginning of the 2024 season was that there was still this investigation going on, and we knew it was still happening, but when you see the NCAA, you see kind of both sides say, hey, we're fully cooperating. We appreciate the university being forthcoming with this. You assume, and maybe it's our fault for assuming, right? You know what happens when you assume. But maybe it's our fault for assuming that this is probably the last we're going to hear. Maybe there's a release that comes out saying, yep, we're good with this. The NCAA says, hey, no further action will be taken. I think that's what most people assumed would happen here. Well, here it is, April 14th of 2026. And I get back from a meeting. I open up my laptop. I'm like, huh? We're talking about vacated wins now for the University of Iowa. And the NCAA has put out this statement, put out this decision about tampering involving the Iowa football program. And they acknowledge that Kirk Ferentz, John Budmeyer, they've resolved their respective cases. I'm reading directly from the report. Resolved their respective cases through negotiated resolutions and served suspensions. And Ferentz publicly accepted accountability for the violations. The panel noted that the lapse in judgment in this case did not call into question Ferentz's integrity or decades of running a compliant football program and appreciated his cooperation and contrition in the case. It says it right there. It does not call into question integrity or decades of running a compliant football program, basically saying we appreciate the fact that they cooperated. Where the dust up is, where the hang up is that, and why this went to an infractions hearing, is because despite the agreement on what happened and why this was called into question, why this was not above board, the NCAA said, you played an ineligible player. Therefore, we need to take away the wins. We need to vacate the wins that he played in, the games he played in. There was four wins, five total games. Four of them were wins. And we need to take those away because it is against the rules. You played an ineligible player. We appreciate that you're contrite. We appreciate that you are holding yourselves accountable. We still have to follow our protocols. University of Iowa said, and this is laid out right there, the NCAA in their news release about this, the NCAA, or the University of Iowa, I should say, said that they don't agree. Iowa did not agree with the vacating of wins, saying that the penalty is outdated, saying this is, you know, the landscape has changed so much. You know, why are we being made an example of and having wins taken away when, man, tampering, all this kind of stuff? I mean, it's happening. It continues to happen to this day. That's kind of the argument that they're making, maybe not exactly in those words, but basically saying, look, let's be honest with ourselves. This is kind of an outdated thing. Shouldn't we be given credit for doing what we did and staying above board and trying to be above board in this process? NCAA said, this is what we've always done. This is what you have agreed to by being a member school, basically saying this is what schools are expected to adhere to, the rules they're expected to adhere to. And we have always punished in the moment, like the moment it happened, as opposed to future years. So the 2026 Iowa football team would not be hurt by this, right? They don't want to do it in 2026 when that student athlete is not even at the school anymore. So I get that. I appreciate that as a fan of college sports, right? It's not fair to, hey, the 2029 football team can't go to a bowl game because of something that happened 5 years earlier. And even longer than that, six years prior. So punishing it in the here and now, it kind of makes sense. You know, and that's what's always been done. And if he was ineligible, then yeah, they broke the rules. They played him. University of Iowa said that shouldn't, not that it shouldn't apply, but it's such an antiquated rule, we don't agree with it. And the NCAA said, tough luck. And it became what it became today. So this panel, the infractions panel, basically said, despite the contrition, despite Iowa being trying to be above board and self-reporting this, and saying, yeah, we messed up. I've got the clip. I pulled the clip. This is Kirk Ferentz. This is an old clip. This is from August 22nd, 2024. This is exactly what he said in admitting that he and his staff, at least one member of his staff, did something wrong. You don't hear every coach do this, especially not these days, but this was This was Kirk back in 2024.
But the bottom line is this. I tell our players, you know, we abide by the rules. And in this specific case, I did not do that. I made a mistake during the recruiting process. And I want to apologize to our players, coaching staff, university leadership, and our incredible fans. 26 years as a head coach. This is the first potential level two violation that I've had, and it won't happen again.
This has happened. A bad judgment. It won't happen again. Despite all that, and despite knowing kind of these facts in the moment, the NCAA still waits till April 14th, 2026 to say, hey, by the way, remember that 2023 season? You guys, yeah, everybody was making jokes about your offense. Even that Spencer on Sports guy, they didn't mention me by name, but their radio shows across the country, the Iowa offense tracker and all that stuff. Yeah, we're just going to sprinkle a little bit more salt in that wound and take away four wins. So those four games, and four victories, they don't really count. The opposing team doesn't get the victory, but they never happened. Totally made up. No one's saying that the University of Iowa is innocent of it. No, they admitted to doing wrong. They did something wrong. They did something they shouldn't have in really multiple ways when you look back on it. They tampered. They had impermissible contact with Cade McNamara. And in the time, they thought it was going to be an offensive upgrade. But knowing what you know now about how he played, and again, he blew out his ACL. I mean, stuff happens, right? No one could have probably predicted that, but he had that lower body injury prior, and he got hurt in camp, right? Kids' Day, wasn't it? And knowing what you know now, was the price that you paid worth it? No, it wasn't worth it. And so this is the type of thing that in this day and age causes some coaches to be like, this is why I don't deal with it. But Kirk Ferentz, I think rightfully so, has leaned into the portal, leaned into this modern era of college athletics. But it's enough to scare you away, isn't it? Like, because everybody has failures and successes and failures, right? Not every player is going to be a top-tier player, right? Not everybody's going to be a Nick Jackson, just to keep it in the Iowa family, right? Not everybody's going to be a Rusty Feth. I'm just pulling transfers out of my head that I know ended up working out for Iowa, right? Not everybody's going to be that. You're going to have some hits. You're going to have some misses. And when you miss at a really important position, that hurts, especially when you did stuff you weren't supposed to do. And you ended up landing the guy, and he just wasn't good. Again, no one is saying, well, free the University of Iowa. They didn't do anything wrong. Like, they admitted to doing stuff wrong. Played the clip like 2 minutes ago. They admitted to doing it wrong. I think the biggest thing that upsets a lot of people, and I'm whatever about this. This was so long ago. Do you remember the 2023 football season? I do, because I talked about it on this radio show. Don't remember, you know, a lot of details about games. I know, for one, I saw, I think it was Mitch Fick from Channel 2. He shared Cooper DeJean punt return against Michigan State to win that game. That technically did not happen. That win over Iowa State technically did not happen. The game has been vacated. Iowa State doesn't get a win. Sorry, Cyclone fans. It's not how it works. But those games that went over Western Michigan, 41-10, didn't happen. 31-0 loss to Penn State on national TV, embarrassment, that happened because it was a loss. But the four wins, Utah State, Iowa State, Western Michigan, Michigan State, those didn't happen. If Cade McNamara had played the whole season, maybe it's a whole season getting vacated. I understand the NCAA's rules. I understand the University of Iowa's kind of argument here. especially considering tampering is it's so commonplace, right? I mean, the portal and name it, there's so many things. It's not just that. There's so many things in college athletics right now that are out of whack, and that's putting it mildly, that you don't even know where to begin. And again, we've had callers calling in the last couple shows. Yesterday, we had one Friday too. What's the difference between this and this? There really is none, because there are rules, but they're not really rules, but they're selectively enforced, and so schools like Iowa get punished, what, 2.5 years later, 3.5 years later? And it's such a drop in the bucket, really? Again, because all the penalties that Iowa put in place were accepted, but then you add in taking away four wins in a season that was pretty good. I mean, 10-win season, went to the Big Ten title game, lost to Michigan, who ironically, you know, had a bunch of other stuff going on. See Stallions, comma Connor, right, for that whole thing. Won the national championship. Oh, that was no issues there. Iowa played Cade McNamara, though, in those five games. I think the timing is what upsets me the most about this. The timing. And like, this is old news. This is the dragging of the feet. And I don't think necessarily Iowa's blameless for how delayed this came out. If Iowa just said, yeah, sure, I mean, we don't agree with it, but whatever, then maybe this is done for. We hear about this in late 2024 as opposed to early 2026. I don't know. It's a mess. The Cade McNamara era or error is officially off the books, I think, for Iowa football. There's got to be some sort of cleaning up of stuff, in my opinion, across college athletics. And there's got to be a uniform representation of this is the line, right? These are the rules. This is how you adhere to them. And it's enforced uniformly. Not this school gets hit with this several years after the fact. This is totally ignored. Did Iowa make a mistake by reporting this? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. It feels like they kind of made a mistake by reporting this. And that's just ridiculous to say, because you know how they run the program. You want them to do stuff like this, don't you? Right? You want them to say, hey, you know, we did something wrong. We messed up. We're holding ourselves accountable. You hold yourself accountable, you get thrown under the bus by the NCAA. Make it make sense. 319-366-1600. Ultimately, this whole thing, it's a famous word. We've used it here before. Nothing burger. Violations were agreed upon. The one thing that wasn't was the vacation of wins, wins being vacated. There's four less wins on the 2023 season for Iowa football. It doesn't impact Kirk Ferentz's record, by the way. Several people asking, what's the deal with his all-time Big Ten wins record? You take away four wins and one loss, 209 and 127. So still four clear of Woody Hayes for that number one spot in the Big Ten. So it doesn't change anything. It's just, okay, those five games didn't count. They didn't happen. Can we talk about current day stuff now? 319-366-1600. In fact, let's do that. Let's talk about current day stuff. Not the NCAA diving back to the golden oldies or whatever. We got plenty more to talk about. Transfer portal. We got some bad news for Iowa State football fans. A lot more to get to in a short amount of time. Power Hour edition of the show continues after this on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Severe storms will be possible throughout this evening with some showers continuing into tonight. Temperatures will be dropping back into the lower 60s. More thunderstorms will be developing throughout Wednesday afternoon and evening. A few of those storms could be strong to severe as well. We'll see high temperatures reach the low to mid 70s. A few thunderstorms will continue into Wednesday night, but our weather will quiet down on Thursday. We expect mostly sunny skies and high temperatures reaching the mid 70s. And that was a check of your Weather First forecast. I'm meteorologist Kaysen Frericks.
Thanks, Kaysen, a reminder, there is a tornado watch in effect until 10 o'clock this evening. That does include both Lynn and Johnson counties, basically all of eastern Iowa under a tornado watch. Still watching some warnings off to the north of a severe thunderstorm warning. Does continue until 4:45 for northeastern Blackhawk County. That's been extended east along Highway 20. There is a severe thunderstorm warning for Buchanan County now until 5:45. National Weather Service with that storm saying possibility of 2-inch hail and 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts. That storm moving along the Highway 20 corridor. So if you are headed from Waterloo over towards Independence, Manchester, and probably eventually Dubuque, keep that in mind. But in the corridor right now, just that tornado watch in effect until 10 p.m. Current temperature in Cedar Rapids, 82. 85 in Iowa City. Back with more after this.
Okay, on the grass, out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
It's spring leaf time, so the City of Cedar Rapids leaf vacuum will be around.
Leaves just go in your yardy cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 24th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now or go to the city website for more info.
Bundling your home and auto with Progressive could help you save without sacrificing quality. It's the smart thing to do. And as a hockey fan, you always know the smart thing to do.
Shoot the puck!
And you let the players know it.
Shoot the puck!
All game.
Shoot it! Come on, shoot!
And sometimes even after.
Man, rough game, huh?
Yeah, they should have shot the puck.
So bundle your home and auto with Progressive. It's the smart thing to do, but you already knew that. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Evan Cohen here. In life, as in sports, the pros make it look easy. That's why pro golfers like Jason Day, Ben Griffin, and Patton Kizzire trust the pros in lawn care. True Green. They have the experience and expertise to give you a lawn worthy of the PGA Tour. And since True Green does the work for you, you get more free time, or more tee times. So stop stressing over your lawn and start loving it. Sign up now at TrueGreen.com because nobody makes it easier to get a golf course quality lawn than True Green, the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour.
Spring is here, so farmers will be working night and day to plant the crops.
Out in the field, be aware of power lines, poles, guy wires, and keep a 10-foot clearance from them.
Review with your workers where power lines are located on your property and use a spotter when moving tall equipment.
And if you come into contact with a power line, call the local utility and stay in the cab until an authority tells you it's safe to exit.
The locally owned electric cooperatives of Iowa wish you a safe planting season.
Want to hear about his sports card collection? Of course you do. Now back to Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Ryan on the text line asking, can they vacate Iowa's loss from that season? No, they can't. Do you want them to? I mean, it's all... He was ineligible for the loss, right? Does that count? I don't think so. That one's still in the books. The four wins are not. So the comeback win against Michigan State did not count. The win, the 41-10, I put my paper to the side here. Sorry, the 41-10 win over Western Michigan doesn't count. The win over Iowa State doesn't count. And the win over Utah State, 24-14, did not count as well. They don't go to the other team. Not on the text line, but across social media today. The burner account network is thick with fans of opposing. Oh, does that mean we get a win? No. Does not work that way. Sorry. If you want to play the technicality, fine. It's not how it works. But those four wins don't count. 0983, good point. The same situation as the gambling story. Any other school, it's not news. And with Iowa and Iowa State, it is. Also saying, not a chance, there aren't other schools tampering with players or Iowa players. Agree. Also saying Iowa and Iowa State, very easy to make an example of. Meanwhile, Michigan caught cheating, detrimental to the integrity of the game, and nothing. That's from 0983 on the text line. 319-366-1600. The timing is stupid. Like, again, like, it affects the coach, right? Like, Kirk has four less wins. Kirk Ferentz, he'll get those four wins back probably this year. But it's the timing and the whole kind of the drag the feet of the process and the unequal application is what's just, I think, eats at me, eats at a lot of people. And it's just like, what, could this have been decided a long time ago? Could this have been decided in the moment, right? In 2023? They had to have known Cade was ineligible then, right? I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. Either he's eligible or he's not. And I understand there's an investigation, right? And this isn't instantaneous stuff, but the rules, according to that NCAA press release I was reading from, it says, right? It says penalties. P-E-N-A-L-T-I. You know how to spell penalties. This isn't first grade, right? Since 2018, Division I member schools have considered student athletes who were tampered with and subsequently enrolled at the tampering school and competed to have competed while ineligible. So those rules have been in place since 2018. This happened in 2020. The tampering was in 2022. He played in 2023. That's 5 years after the rules were in place. Like, I think you have kind of a good, you know, judgment of time there to figure out, hey, this person was tampered with. Well, it wasn't until, and Cade, if I remember right, he outed the Iowa program too, didn't he? He went on a podcast and said, yeah, the coaches have been talking to me and blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, everybody's been circulating that quote too. The quote from Cade, who was it on, not Carson, Jordan Palmer, his podcast, the QB. I thought that was a good podcast. Him and Kyle Allen. That was enlightening stuff for a football nerd. But didn't Cade go on that podcast and was like, just please continue to say we're going to have the worst offense known to man. Please. Maybe not in those words. There's some words in there I can't say on the radio. Yeah, that graphic is circulating the internet again this afternoon. And now none of it mattered. None of it happened. Complete figment of your imagination. Oh, boy. 319-366-1600. I keep going back to that question, though, that I asked before the break. Did Iowa make the mistake? Did they make the mistake of saying something? The answer is no, they didn't make a mistake, but it makes you wonder, like, is it better to not say anything in this day and age of college? I mean, they got reported, so they kind of had to say something. I don't know. It's just a mess. Let's just leave it at that. It is a mess. Mess with a capital M. 319-366-1600. Spring football in the here and now, in the present, going on for both Iowa and Iowa State. Some bad news yesterday revealed by Jimmy Rogers, the new head coach at Iowa State. We'll get to that here in just a moment, but an update yesterday from the new Cyclones head man talking about the competition at quarterback. He says the competition there is narrowed. Spring practice starts to wind down. Two guys really have emerged at least to the top of the crop so far in spring practice. That's Jalen Rayner, who was at Arkansas State last year, and then Zane Flores. Rayner, a senior sophomore for Zane Flores, who came in from Oklahoma State. Rayner started all 13 games for the Arkansas State Red Wolves last year before transferring in this offseason. Flores was at Oklahoma State. He started 8 games last year. Not great numbers, so Rayner the better numbers last year, but an open competition so far in Ames.
In the spring, it's more about reps and trying to get the guys in situations. I would say it's been, you know, a pretty solid match between Rayner and Flores so far. Throughout spring ball, they're both learning a new system, and at times one does better in a certain situation and one does better in the other situation.
That's Iowa State head coach Jimmy Rogers, who says the priority early in the spring period was for both quarterbacks to learn the offense, learn the basics, learn the terminology, and get that down pat before really throwing too much at them.
So we've been kind of mix and matching who goes with which group at the end of the day. It will sort itself out over, you know, the series of spring ball and then where they go at going into summer.
And the bad news that came yesterday, kind of burying the lead, but Rogers announcing that one of the prize transfers they got out of the portal, Braden Alls, who was at Toledo, all-conference defensive back last year for the Rockets in the Mid-American Conference. He is set to miss all of the upcoming season. Tore his ACL in practice. Certainly not the news you want to hear, especially with a guy who comes in with quite a bit of experience, a lot to replace, obviously, on that back end with all the transfers out of the program. And graduation as well, but more so transfers than anything with the coaching change and losing a key piece to the secondary this early on before you even get to fall camp. Certainly not something you want to talk about.
Kind of in a routine hit blocking situation, his leg got planted. Outside of that, and that one sucks. But overall, we've been able to stay as healthy as we need to be with the physicality in which we're playing with right now in practice.
And that's Iowa State head coach Jimmy Rogers. Their spring practice wraps up for them coming up a week from Saturday on the 25th, as does Iowa's. We'll continue to cover the latest there in the here and now of the NCAA spring football period with college sports here. 319-366-1600. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back and start to wrap things up. Got a Cubs report for you. We'll take a look at what's going on with the Northsiders, the Cubs in Philadelphia tonight. Quick preview there. And then we'll take a look at the sports menu. Got some interesting stuff happening around the sports world tonight. A debut in baseball for the tallest player in Major League Baseball this season. And also potential some history tonight as well. We'll talk about that as we wrap up our Power Hour edition of the show. It's next here on 1600 ESPN. Taking on the trails, roughing it off-road, or just keeping up with the kids this summer. Come find the bike to take you through it all during the spring sale now at Hall Bicycle. Through April 18th, you'll save 5% off every bike in the store. Plus, with your new bike purchase, you'll save 20% on accessories from Trek, Bontrager, and Electra. Get ready to ride and save right now during the spring sale at Hall Bicycle in downtown Cedar Rapids and on University Avenue in Cedar Falls, serving cyclists since 1898.
Digital.
Such a big word. You know your business needs a digital strategy, but the choices feel overwhelming. So talk to the local helpful people here at KZIA's CI Digital Group, and instead of
digital,
it will sound like
digital. I can help.
Visit CIDigitalGroup.com, click Learn More, and discover all the ways KZIA's local CI Digital Group will help you be even better. CIDigitalGroup.com.
The search for your favorite local catering ends at Emil's Hideaway. Delicious food that even the picky people will like? That's what Emil's Hideaway delivers for your wedding, graduation party, corporate, or other big event. See the catering menu now at emilshideaway.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Evan Cohen here. Did you know the average employer sorts through about 250 resumes for one job opening? That's a lot of time reviewing applications. Well, if you're hiring, here's good news. You can now review resumes and applications faster thanks to ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter's new feature, qualified candidates who are very interested in your job show up at the top of your list. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/sports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sports.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Power Hour edition of the show continues here on 1600 ESPN. Starting to see some storms fire up to the west of the Cedar Rapids and Iowa City metro area, west of the corridor. Nothing severe with those as of right now, but we do have a tornado watch in effect until 10 o'clock this evening for the entire listening area. If you're up towards Buchanan County and basically along Highway 20 from Waterloo heading east, there is still a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 5:45 for all of Buchanan County. Main threats there, strong winds and some golf ball size hail. Again, that's Buchanan County to our north. If you're in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City right now, seeing clouds building in with those storms that are firing. Nothing severe as of yet. But if you are headed home, brace yourselves for a stormy commute home. That is what I will advise you to do here. And we'll stick with you. We are turning you over to the Cubs in about 15 minutes here on 1600 ESPN. But we will stick around. I'll stick around and keep you up to date if there's any weather warnings during the Cubs broadcast here on 1600 ESPN. Speaking of the Cubs, let's get you a Cubs report brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Rocky start to the series. Pun not necessarily intended there, as the Cubs lost at Philadelphia last night 13-7 on Monday night at Citizens Bank Park. Former Cub Kyle Schwarber doing damage against his former team early on, hit a couple home runs in the first three innings. Phillies broke that game open last night with a five-run fifth. The lead ballooning to 9-2. Eventually got to 13-2 for the Phils in that one. Northsiders, Cubs made things interesting in the eighth. They scored five runs of their own. It was fueled by a couple of Phillies errors in that game. That cut the lead down to 13-7. But Philly called upon Orion Kirkering out of the bullpen to shut the door on any possibility of a miracle comeback. Because of all those injuries in their rotation and in their bullpen, Cubs letting Javier Assad eat one last night, take his lumps. He was saddled with the loss, gave up 9 runs on 11 hits, just 4 1/3 innings on the hill. Dansby Swanson and Moises Ballesteros, the bright spots for the Cubbies last night. Dansby with a 2-run homer in the fourth, Ballesteros with a pair of hits and an RBI in the loss. But Cubs fall to the Phillies last night 13-7. They'll do it again tonight. Was initially supposed to be Colin Ray, the Cascade native on the hill, to start the game. He's probably going to pitch tonight, but they have named an opener. That is Riley Martin, a lefty, who is going to actually start the game. Martin, a sixth-round pick of the Cubs back in 2021. He's actually from Salem, Illinois. In downstate Illinois, he attended Quincy University in Quincy, Illinois, so a native Illinoisan coming in to pitch for the Cubs. He'll start the game tonight. He'll be starting his first MLB game this evening against the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. Aaron Nola on the hill for Philly as game two of that series starts at 5:40. Again, radio coverage starts at 5:05 here this evening. You can catch you right here on 1600 ESPN. Couple different moves today, quite a few actually, made by the Cubs. The Cubs sending Charlie Barnes back to AAA Iowa, called up Luke Little and Ryan Rollison from AAA to the big leagues, and then Ethan Roberts, another pitcher, placed on the injured list, 15-day IL stint for Roberts. He has a laceration to his middle finger. Ouch there for Roberts. Cubs looking to get a win tonight, knock off the Phils in game two. Again, 5:40, the first pitch in that one. And that is your Cubs report brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City. Check them out at HertineandStockerJewelers.com. Cubs report every Tuesday and Thursday here on 1600 ESPN. Speaking of baseball tonight, looking at the baseball schedule for this evening, they are supposed to have, at least on the schedule right now, Iowa baseball is supposed to play Bradley at 6 tonight down at Duane Banks Field. Not sure that'll happen, but keep your eyes to social media to see if that one gets off the runway. For what it's worth, down there in Iowa City. Major league-wise, the Tigers hosting the Royals tonight at 5:40. San Francisco's got Cincinnati in Cincinnati at 5:40. Pittsburgh, Mitch Keller on the hill. Boy, big offensive outburst yesterday for the Pirates, helping out Paul Skeens in a big way. The Pirates sending Mitch Keller to the hill opposite Miles Michaelis as they host the Washington Nationals. Twins touching up Garrett Crochet last night. They've got Sonny Gray opposite them tonight. Mick Abel, the former Phillies prospect, on the mound for Minnesota at 6:40. Mentioned a notable debut tonight. The number one pitching prospect for the Chicago White Sox, Noah Schultz, on the hill. He makes his MLB debut tonight at Wright Field. He is the tallest player in Major League Baseball when he debuts tonight, 6'10". So good for him. He's actually a really good pitcher. Noah Schultz, one of the, I think, number 45 in all of MLB, number one pitching prospect for the Sox. He goes opposite Shane McClanahan for Tampa Bay tonight. Brewers, oof, Christian Yelich on an extended DL, IL stint, the adductor strain, felt some hamstring tightness the other night. Not great. Milwaukee hosting Toronto tonight at 6:40. Jacob Mizorowski and Kevin Gausman there. And then the Cardinals, Michael McGreevy on the hill opposite Joey Cantillo of the Cleveland Guardians this evening. Let's see. The other big notable thing. Well, did you see what Aaron Judge and Mike Trout did last night? Man, two superstars of the game going at it in New York. Yankees ended up winning in walk-off fashion, but each hitting two home runs last night. They'll battle again tonight at 6:05. How about Matt Olson of the Braves playing his 800th game in a row tonight? Working on a crazy Iron Man streak. Long way to go before he gets to Cal Ripken Jr., but 800 games in a row for Matty O as the Braves and Marlins tonight at 6:15. Got the NBA play-in tournament tonight. That's notable as well. Two games tonight, the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat. That's at 6:30 on Prime. And then Phoenix and Portland tonight at 9 o'clock on Prime Video. Two more tomorrow, Orlando and Philly, Golden State and the Clippers at 9 o'clock. Those on Prime. The winners get the 7 seeds. Tonight, I believe. I think I have that mixed up. But play-in tournament begins tonight. The actual playoffs begin here this weekend. And hockey, the regular season winding down. Notable tonight, Washington. Is it Alex Ovechkin's final game for the Caps tonight? Caps were eliminated from the playoffs. They are in Columbus tonight. The all-time leader in goals. Going to decide this summer if he will retire after 21 NHL seasons. But Washington at Columbus at 6 tonight on ESPN. The Blues in action tonight, too, as they are hosting Pittsburgh. That's at 8:30. Also on ESPN, Minnesota in action against Anaheim tonight. Utah's got Winnipeg, Calgary, and Colorado this evening. Vancouver and Los Angeles also tonight. Montreal's at Philly, Carolina at the New York Islanders, and New Jersey is playing at Boston. So there you go. Full night ahead in sports. And we've got Cubs baseball coming up here in just a little bit on 1600 ESPN. Again, 5:05 pregame, 5:40 the first pitch here. And we got that for you here tonight. One more power hour to come your way tomorrow here on 1600 ESPN. Back with you from 4 till 5. And then be back to a full show on Thursday here at Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports. So if you missed anything from today's shorter show, you can always check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. Happy to have you check that out there on the website. We're on our free KGYM Sports Radio app. Let's real quick take a look one more time at the weather here. It has gotten super, super dark just off to our west here at the 1600 ESPN studios. Nothing severe what's coming into the Cedar Rapids Metro as of right now, but just seeing a tornado warning issued. That is for central Buchanan County until 6 p.m., could see 2-inch hail with that and a radar-indicated rotation there for that storm. Again, that's up in Buchanan County, central Buchanan County, a tornado warning that goes until 6. That storm moving along the Highway 20 corridor. So if you are up towards Manchester and probably headed towards the Dubuque area at some point this evening, could see some nasty weather there. But here right now looks like some storms moving in. Just do have that tornado watch until 10 o'clock this evening for the entire listing area. That'll do it for the Power Hour. Cubs baseball coming up. Have yourself a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4.
It's Rich Eisen for Pella Windows and Doors. Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home,